On est pas bien là, hein?
Cinephile, Roslyn Hyams.
Hello and welcome to Cinephile. The merry month of May in France for film lovers means the Cannes Film Festival. It's an ideal opportunity to look at some of the French films and films in French which were screened there this year in the official selection. The three I've picked are all first features. L'Age lise Les Misérables, Mati Diop's Atlantique, and a Canadian film by Monia Chokri called La Femme de mon Frère, in English, My Brother's Love.
Ça tourne.
L'Age lise Les Misérables drew a lot of praise. For a first feature, it was remarkably mastered, all round. The screenplay is tight and smart and co-written by Lee with Alexis Manenti, one of the actors who plays one of the policemen, and Giordano Guedelini. With a focus on a teenager who's constantly getting into trouble, who's called Issa, and who's played by Issa Perica. Les Misérables takes place in a housing estate to the north of Paris, where Lee, of Malian descent, himself grew up. His police thriller story hinges on Buzz, a young boy who lives on the housing estate, and his fascination with his drone camera, which captures a policeman's bruising mistake. Lee nabbed one of the popular and award-winning French auteur actors of the moment, Damien Bonnard, as a two white policeman from out of town who has a heart. He also pulled on board French actress Jeanne Balibar, who stunned cinema audiences with her incarnation of the singer Barbara in Mathieu Amalric's film of 2017 of the same name. Her smaller role in this film as a police chief who exercises her authority over three brawny police officers is, like most of this film, so well done and makes us laugh. Here's L'Age lise talking about his film, which he's described as an alarm bell.
On a vécu les émeutes de 2005. À l'époque, j'avais fait un film qui s'appelait 365 jours à Clichy-Montfermeil.
We had riots in 2005, and at that time I made a documentary called 365 Days at Montfermeil, the name of the suburb. And you realize that we've been calling for social rights for 20 years, and 20 years we've been trying to denounce police violence, and 20 years later, there's the LFS movement, and you realize that nothing's changed. So it's important to keep talking about this, put the finger on it, to say problems are not settled in the poorer suburbs. The film starts with a minor incident. Kids steal a lion cub. I want to say that it's kind of cute, but the consequences are enormous. It takes practically nothing to create an explosion. 15, 20 years ago, now we have the yellow vests. The ending of my film is, first of all, a warning. Watch out. The younger generation is not going to be patient. It's obvious. If there's going to be a revolution, it'll come from these areas. And if things carry on like this, if they go on refusing to listen to us, it might explode. The Élévestes started protesting 6 months ago, and nothing's changed. So my film is aimed at the politicians. Listen to us. Understand us. If not, things could get out of control.
Entendez-nous, parce que ça risque de partir en vrille.
Take two.
Monia Chokri's film opened the Un Certain Regard, a particular view section of the Cannes Festival. It's a simply told tale of a non-incestuous but very close relationship between a brother and a sister. It's about love and relationships more broadly, a rom-com basically.
Est-ce que vous faites du sport?
Pas mal quand même.
Quoi? Donc c'est votre petite amie qui va vous raccompagner après l'intervention?
Non, non, non.
Non.
Oui.
Je suis sa sœur.
In this extract, the sister Sophia, played by the tragicomic Anne-Elisabeth Bossé, is talking to a woman doctor about getting her abortion. The brother, Karim, played by actor Patrick Yvon, has taken her to the clinic and ends up falling in love with his sister's doctor. Sophia, who has a PhD but can't find a job to match her qualifications, is penniless, doesn't have a partner, and is depressed. For their part, the loving parents keep their nonconformist selves going with their spirit of the 1960s and 70s. Are they better equipped to deal with this world where they haven't heard of influencer icons like Kim Kardashian? Here's Monia Chokri.
A lot of friends who are in this situation, who did a PhD and find no job, and it's a loneliness of this knowledge, and it's a question in my movie that I wanted to ask is, what are we doing with all this knowledge? That we no one wants this knowledge anymore. It's not a value of our society right now. It's why I opposite her with Kim Kardashian, who has the same age. Yeah. And she made a fortune and a success, and she's very powerful. She's one of the most influential person in my generation, and she just built her life with her image. No idea. I don't know what she think. I don't know what she what is she is she read? Is she love stuff? I don't know. The only thing I know about Kim Kardashian is pictures, most of it. And so it was the opposite. And what is success today? And what are we doing with? And if we want to lose knowledge, it's very dangerous in our society.
What kind of humor or comics inspire you? Who are the people you follow, as it were?
Well, a lot of people. Kim Kardashian, for sure. No, but I would say Coen Brothers for sure are one of the greatest writers, comedy writer. For me, like Big Lebowski is like probably the best comedy that has been right. Also French comedy like Le Splendid, Les Visiteurs, Pierre Richard, which is a more physical comedy. But also Larry David, The Office, Tina Fey, SNL.
A lot of comedy.
A lot of comedy, yeah. Abfab, you know, those kind of things are part of my... Woody Allen, for sure. So those people are really my inspiration for comedy.
The film is full of fun and colour, a breath of fresh air from Monia Chokri, who has acted with fellow Canadians Xavier Dolan and Denis Arcand. My Brother's Love, a feel-gooder with a smiley ending in a boating lake in Montreal.
My inspiration came from this picture that she sees when she's in the biggest of the lower of the depression, and she's in her room and she watched this picture in front of her the with the boat and the two her brother and her in the boat. So it was really like the picture that I want to reproduce at the end, the same picture. So it was the influence of the end, and also because it remind us the idea of atoms who get together, and like it's all those kind of little atoms who moves around.
We're waiting for Monia Chokri's next film. Maybe it'll be in English.
Take 3.
Atlantique is a ghost love story about Suleiman, a young man who, like his workmates, have not been paid their salaries for construction jobs in Senegal, so they all leave in a rowing boat for Spain. He leaves behind his girlfriend, Ada, played by Mame Binta Sani, who's being forced to marry a rich businessman. Suleiman's boat is wrecked and all the young men are drowned, but they come back to haunt the property developer and the newlywed couple. 36-year-old Mati Diop mixes in supernatural effects of cinema in a low-budget first feature based on a short film which had screened at Cannes. It's filmed on location, mainly near the ocean, and you hear it mainly in Wolof. The soundtrack overall is interesting and shifts between contemporary electronic and more classical dramatic orchestration of a film score. International musician Fatima Al-Kadiri is Mati Diop's main composer for Atlantique. Fatima Al-Kadiri, thank you so much for speaking to us today here at the Cannes Film Festival. You composed the music for Mati Diop's film Atlantique. How did you work with Mati to compose this music, and when did you compose it, to what stage?
Well, Mati first got in touch with me a couple of years ago via my Facebook fan page, professing her love for my work and asking me in the most sincerest way if I would work on the soundtrack of her film. We were on the same page, but also the themes that she was working with in the film, possession, namely being one of the most interesting ones for me personally. I don't know, I just felt that I knew her film. There was so much cultural affinity between us that made it simpler. But I want to say I composed, let's say, 70% of the score. There are some tracks that were licensed that is not my music, so...
So maybe the one I was talking about that's a little more classical is not yours.
Yes, I think so. I think that's the one.
You're not known for that.
No, I'm not. No. I'm very electronic. I'm very, very digital, you know.
What inspired you particularly about the film, about this project, about the story of the sea, the moon, the dead
coming back from the sea?
These are very universal themes. To me, position is a universal theme. Workers not getting paid, girls getting married, teenagers getting married against their will, arranged marriages. This is something that is part of my culture, you know. So it was very extremely relatable to me. All the subject matter was relatable to me. It just happened to be in Dakar, you know, and it had its own Senegalese flavor, you know. But ultimately, these are universal stories and are very commonplace. Rituals, beliefs, activities, and outcomes, you know. So it didn't take a lot for me to connect with the film, and I really loved the supernatural aspect of it because some of my work dealt with jinn in the past, so I was already on board from the get-go, you know. And also the social justice aspect of it was very important, you know.
What about your music? How did you actually go about composing it? Can you tell us in more musical terms about your work on the film?
We didn't really start concretely working on the film until she sent me the first edit, the rough draft of the film, and slowly I went through scene by scene composing music for each one, sending her many variations, and we would inch towards what she wanted, you know. And I just improvise, I see how I feel towards each scene, and sometimes I got it on the first one, and sometimes we had to, you know, go back to the drawing board.
But in terms of sound, what do you hear?
I think my music is very good at expressing a type of innocence and loss and longing. This transition from childhood to adulthood, kind of a liminal stages, vulnerability. There's a lot of vulnerability and fragility. I'm quite a fragile person. And I think that translates into my work. And these characters were fragile characters, but they had an integrity and a strength at their core, which comes out in the end of the film. So somehow my music was, I don't know, it just melded very well with the characters themselves and with the atmosphere of the film.
The ocean and the moon and the sun are poetic chapter markers in Atlantique, and through a tragic love story with youthful trimmings, it throws light on the causes and consequences of economic migration from Africa. Atlantique, one of the many debut features at this year's Cannes Film Festival, bringing us to the end of this Cinephile on RFI in English, produced and presented by Cécile Pompeiani and Roslyn Hyams. Thank you for listening, and until next time, au revoir.